All right, we're now at 30, are we? Elk depredation.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the Commission, Secretary Hepler, Tom Kirschman, Wildlife Division Director, and with me is John Kant, Regional Supervisor from Western South Dakota as well. John's going to handle the bulk of the conversation here. We just wanted to give you an update on the conversation about elk depredation in Western South Dakota, primarily in the Black Hills, but also out on the prairie as well, in a couple of locations where we're dealing with some substantial or significant depredation from elk. It's been a conversation that's been around a long time, and we've had some very good and open and candid conversations with multiple landowners across the hills and out on the prairie. Prairies just adjacent to the hills and then down into Bennett County in particular. Some of those conversations led to further conversations even with some local legislators out in Western South Dakota, which ultimately precipitated the meeting that we hosted at the outdoor campus in the regional office in early January, where we invited a bunch of landowners to come in and quite honestly just be open and frank with us about some of their depredation issues, some of the things they're dealing with. But maybe more importantly was a conversation of asking them for ideas, suggestions, or recommendations on improving things that we currently do to alleviate or minimize elk depredation. What are some new ideas that maybe would be outside of the box that we should be considering? And from that, we had multiple ideas and recommendations from the approximately 35 landowners that were in attendance that day. And we really appreciated the conversation that we had. I know Chair Jensen was there. We had three legislators, if my memory serves me right. Commissioner Bees was there. Secretary Hepler was there. Just a very good conversation. So what resulted from that meeting is we took the ideas and recommendations from the landowners that were present. We took ideas and suggestions that we gathered internally from staff and put together a list of things that we are either number one, currently working on, or number two, we have already made some changes and implementation is starting. And I'm going to turn it over to John and he can give you somewhat of a summary of some of those action items and things that we're looking at moving forward with elk depredation.
Thanks, Tom. Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the commission. So like Tom said, we held that meeting, and I wanted to let you know that I sent a letter out to invite those folks, almost 90 people, landowners, producers, that we invited to that meeting. So a good slug of our folks that we deal with elk depredation, not only in the Black Hills, but out onto the prairie, as Tom mentioned, into Bennett County and a few up in Harding and in those areas. So I was happy with the turnout. I did have some folks that emailed me and called me as well, had some great conversations with them and got a lot of good input on like Tom said, how we're doing and where we need to go and maybe some other things that we can help them out with. And so just recently here, after our internal discussions and some decisions that we made to enhance and provide some additional programs to those folks. I did put together another letter and actually got that sent out early this week. I promised all of those folks that I would respond to them and let them know where we're headed after that meeting that we held. And so that letter should suffice. And of course, I invited them to contact me if they wanted to meet and discuss more and of course acknowledge that we'll continue to work with them. From that meeting, some of the major topics that we heard were spring and summer damage, where we have elk that are out hitting crops in some areas, alfalfa or even corn and soybeans in some of our areas. But then maybe more importantly, just elk out on the grass and grass that they're going to either bring their cattle back off of a permit on the Forest Service to graze that or to hay those lands and take hay from the land so that they can put that up to feed their cattle through the winter. So that was one or a couple of the major themes. And then we heard about labor. Elk can certainly do some significant damage to fence. So we heard from those several of those landowners that the labor to fix that fence, that they felt like that was a burden on them and that they should be compensated for that. And then probably last, the big theme that I heard was we really need to address the large concentrations of elk, particularly where they're hitting private land and causing significant damage. And so let me just go down the list here. We had 9 things that we came up with that we thought would we could do immediately to help with the situation, and then, of course, continue the conversation and continue to work with these folks. The first was that we would recommend to the commission, to you, that we increase licenses in some key areas to try to increase that elk harvest. And I won't go into all the details, but I can assure you that in some of those key areas, we did ask you to increase those licenses, and that would be what you approved yesterday. You may remember Mr. Bill Paulton that came and spoke to you last month. He's one that I've been talking to in depth, and we've worked with Mr. Paulton for a long time. And in his unit, as an example, we asked you to double the antlerless licenses, and that's what you approved yesterday. We are going to actually try to contact a lot of those hunters and focus them over to the western side of that unit, over to Elk Mountain, where Mr. Paulton and other landowners live, and try to put some pressure on those elk. The next thing is we wanted to increase our food plot contract maximum payment from $6,000 to $8,000. On our hayland contracts, we're going to increase the maximum from $3,000 to $4,000. We're also going to increase the amount of the field that we consider. So right now, we look at 30% of the field that's being damaged. We want to increase that to 50%, which will in turn increase the payment that they would get. And then we also, what we do is look at the average rental rate as it's produced by the USDA in a publication that they have, and then we add some money to that to enhance that payment. Right now it's at $10, and we're going to increase that to $20 per acre. So overall, just an increase on those two food plot and hayland contracts. We're going to increase the elk stackyard maximum payment from $10,000 to $15,000. And then likewise with our fencing contracts, where we go in and help repair fence and fix fence that elk have damaged, we're going to raise that maximum from $10,000 to $15,000. And that really is to try to get at that labor point that we heard. And so a lot of that money can go towards labor for them fixing the fence and, of course, building those stackyards. And I might add that the stackyard program for both elk and deer is probably, if not our best program, it's one of the best programs. We know we can protect stored feed with those stackyards, so we like to help landowners with those because that's a permanent solution. Next on the list, we're at number 6 here, would be a form of hay replacement program in extreme situations. And so we do have some situations where the hay just doesn't get put up, or going back to that damage on the pasture during the summer, where we can try to haze elk, but if they continue to come in and they see a loss of hay to help carry them through the winter, in extreme situations, we want to try to work with some of those landowners, producers, to replace some of that hay so we can help get them through the winter and it's not such a hardship on them. Next, we're going to recommend to the commission, to you, that we offer a landowner elk license, and we talked about that yesterday, so I won't get into a bunch of details on that, but that's the next thing on the list that we suggested that we would do. And maybe just stress again that landowner license or that landowner elk preference in a lot of cases buys us a lot of tolerance for elk. It shows those folks that we want to work with them and that we appreciate them. And I certainly can tell you that when I deal with those folks that are frustrated, that helps with that conversation and it makes them feel a little bit better about that and helps them talk to us. So, and then we're going to increase the use of elk depredation hunts outside of the hunting seasons. So in particular, we want to try to do some earlier pool hunts. And I take you back to Mr. Paulton as the example. I've spoke with him and his son, and we're all set to do a pool hunt there in August. This would, of course, be pending Secretary Hepler's approval, but I've talked with him, and I think he's on board. And so Mr. Paulton in particular will be bringing hunters in August and seeing what we can do to put some pressure on those elk and push them off of his grazing and haying lands, but then also just knock down some elk prior to the season there. And then last, we want to work with our communication section, work with Jonna, to really get the word out and make sure that all of these folks are aware of the programs that we offer and let them know that we're here to help. It interests me and amazes me. We still run into folks that say, oh, geez, I didn't know you guys helped with that, or I didn't know you had that stackyard program. And I feel like we do a good job of getting the word out, and I thought everybody knew, but we still run into folks that don't, and so we're going to make a concerted effort to get that word out and make sure that everybody knows that we want to help them, because we certainly appreciate their help with wildlife management, and so we'll get that word out. Lastly, I would just mention that in the letter, I did walk them through our timeline of reviewing the elk management plan, and the fact that we'll get a stakeholder group together and discuss a lot of these items. And I invited them to let me know if they would like to participate in that stakeholder group. Now, certainly, if we get a bunch of them, they can't all participate, but a few of them already have indicated that they would like to help us out with that. And so I think we can sit down and try to select some key individuals from different areas and represent those different issues that they're dealing with elk to be on the stakeholder group and help us through some of these things that we need to discuss. And so with that, I would take any questions that you might have.
Questions, Commissioner Spring.
When you were talking about the stackyard for the landowners to protect their hay, you were saying a $15,000 limit. Is that per landowner, or is that the total that the department's going to put out?
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Spring, that would be per landowner per year. And we run those on the fiscal year, so it'd be July 1 through the end of June. But yeah, each year with each landowner, a maximum of 15.
Thank you.
Questions, comments? Commissioner Beast.
Commissioner Beast from Fairburn. One of the things that come out of that meeting, though, you know, there's a lot of landowners expressing their concerns over the elk, but I just want to make the comment that during that meeting, they also said how well the staff was to work with, and that was very good of them to say that the department, they believe the department is doing all they can to help them with their issue, and how good they were to work with. Thanks.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, Commissioner Beast, I appreciate you saying that, and that is a really recognizes our staff and how hard they work, and I could tell you that all of my staff out there take it very seriously when folks call with not only elk damage, but any other kind of damage that wildlife is causing, and they get right out there and try to get those folks some help, so I appreciate that.
And are we have a path ahead on the issue that Commissioner Beast talked about yesterday, the payment versus elk license, and how do you negotiate through that, and is there a point at which something changes, or you get one or the other?
Mr. Chairman, that's a good question to bring up again, and somewhat of a newer topic of discussion, I would say, internally for us. I'm glad Commissioner Beast brought that up again. So I think that is one that we continue that discussion right now, and as we move forward with the elk management plan, because I think we're going to have the great venue of multiple landowners be involved with that and the stakeholder groups to have those types of discussions. So in preparation of all the discussions that will occur with the elk management plan, that needs to be added to the list of specific items that needs to be talked about and addressed and come up with some level of recommendation or movement in the future. So we'll make sure that is part of that overall discussion.
Commissioner Beast.
Commissioner Beast, I did bring that up, and I just want to explain why I did that. In my belief, as a landowner, rancher, conservationist, I believe there's a very big responsibility on the people that own the land and the habitat to provide for wildlife. By saying that, you need to provide for wildlife on your ranch, but only to a certain point. I mean, you have to be profitable and run your ranch, and but I do believe you have to provide for wildlife, being a conservationist owning the land. And when the elk come into the Black Hills to start, I think it was 1981 was our first season, and you know, there's only 30 tags, wasn't a big deal. Everybody liked elk. Everybody wants to have the elk there. And then, you know, we're up to the point we are today where, you know, they are making a significant issue for landowners and their profitability. And we need to make that right, but when landowner tags come involved, you know, people were good with a landowner tag. There was no cash payments. There was no food plots, nothing. But it's evolved to where we are today, where some individuals are taking, you know, over 5 years. Some of them are knocking down $100,000. And that's pretty substantial. And I believe not only we owe it to the sportsmen, but the landowners also, that we might be to the point where it's one or the other. You want to support the elk and have an elk tag, or you want the cash payment? And I think we're to the point where it's one or the other.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions, comments?
Mr. Chairman, one last comment, just to make sure it's on the record and that you folks know as well. We're dealing with some unique situations of elk depredation in Bennett County, and for multiple reasons, and just wanted you to be aware that we've been requested to, through John and staff, to set up a meeting with several landowners down there in Bennett County and talk about our ongoing situation and scenarios to deal with, and John's staff will be setting that up soon. So we continue those discussions not only with landowners in the Black Hills, where we primarily think about depredation issues, but also out on the prairie, and like I said, we have some unique situations there, and so we are working on that, and we'll be holding a landowner meeting down in Bennett County as well.
Thank you. Commissioner Spring.
With the Bennett County deal, are you able to work with the tribe, the Indian Reservation, about season dates to work together at all, or is that still not an option as far as seasons and working with you to keep the numbers down?
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Commissioner Spring, so yes, I would say that things are, we're doing really well working with the tribes down there, both Rosebud and the Pine Ridge Reservation. We meet with them annually, we meet with them annually, and we do talk with them often. I will tell you, they don't have the same objectives with elk that we do. Right now down there, we're at a substantially decrease, and we want to see a significant harvest on elk. Rosebud, as an example, they're looking to manage for trophy bulls, and I certainly understand that. That's a moneymaker for them, and you know, so a little bit different management strategy there. And then, of course, over onto Pine Ridge, they want to manage for a population of elk and offer that opportunity to their tribal members. And, of course, it's a moneymaker for them as well. They're certainly receptive to us talking with them and explaining the damage that's occurring on the private property off the reservation or off of tribal lands. And they're helping in some ways. They have issued some antlerless licenses at our request. They're certainly willing to accept elk, and sometimes we're hazing elk onto tribal lands where they'll put out some feed and try to hold them there. So I would say I would like to see more, but they're working real well with us, and we're in a lot better spot than we've been in a long time, and we'll continue to meet with them annually and talk with them often to try to get that help.
That's good to hear. I know 20 years ago it was a real problem. They didn't want to work with us. Thank you for your input.
Other questions, comments? Oh, thank you. All right, so let's do the next.